Set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your spiritual truth. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I think looking back, we started the book over in July, and it's March, and we're on the 11th step. So we might finish the book in a year. Usually takes us a little longer. Depends if I bring extra stuff in. But we've got to step 11. I spent several sessions on step 10 because it's so important. The last podcast, we talked about the nightly review, and I reviewed some of the basic concepts of step 10 that we bring in 11. I view 10 and 11 together. They say that we use prayer, inventory, and meditation. When they're taken individually, they're very powerful. But when they're interwoven, it's unshakable foundation. And that's from the 12 and 12. And that's what we're doing in step 10. We're inventorying all day, watching when I separate from God. And I use the example of the two rooms in a house. We have a cabin. We live in a little cabin. Our whole lives, it's two rooms. And I didn't realize there were two rooms. I only lived in one room, and that was Michael's world. Now, I believed in God, but I lived in the world where I was God. And when I came here, I had to consider that I was in the wrong world and that there might be another world that could work, a design for living that could work, a way of living that could work, because I couldn't stand to be in that room anymore. And then when I came to AA, I'm sitting here and I notice that there's a door to another room. I hadn't seen the door till I was completely defeated. And I saw that there was a door. And people said, you know, there's another room in your house. I said, really? Yes. And there's a power in there that can relieve you of your alcoholism, your self-centered world. And all you have to do is open the door. So I could see the door. That was the first step, that I had to get out of this room. You know, you're in a room and it's full of snakes, so you want to get out of the door, right? And I could see it. And then I believed that there was a power there in that other room that could help me. And then I made a decision that I'm going to move into the other room. But I'm still in my world. And so I had to grab the knob and start to open it. And steps 4 through 9 is the process of opening the door and getting into that other room, which is the world of the spirit. And then we want to stay in that world. So we have to use all the tools that we use to get out of it to stay in it. Stay out of the other world to stay in that world. And we go back and forth a lot each day, but we don't want to get too far. We want to step into the other room, and then we say, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. God, bring me back. It's just not that complicated. And the more I stay in that room where God's the center of my life and directing my life, the better my life is. And if I stop doing the work, though, and stop seeking God, and stop doing inventory and prayer meditation, I start to get through that door. And if I get far enough, I'm in the other room. And then if I get far enough, I actually close the door. And then, you know, I'm back where I was. And so a lot of people come to AA and they just don't want to step into the other room. They don't want to do the work. Some do the work and they do half measures, so they get halfway through the door, but they don't get into the other room. And when you're in the other room, you've got a power. Jody talked about it, we have a sixth sense. We know that there, and I've used these tools, so I know when I get angry, I have God, I'm go to God, relieve me, say the prayers. If I get afraid, go to God, he'll take away the fear. If I'm starting to make a self-centered decision and action, God might say, you know, you might not want to do that. And then we use other people to stay in the room. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we go to meetings. That's why we call people and we talk to people all the time. So we can look at our thinking that's going to take me out of the room. Because, you know, we still want our way. Anybody like that? So sometimes we say, well, you know, God, you've been good to me, but, you know, I've got this. And before you know it, we're out there. So I thought of that. It came to me one day. I don't know if it makes sense, but 10 and 11 is how we stay connected to God. And then working with others is the action that it says when all else fails, working with others will save the day for me and gets me out of myself. So we want to have prayer, meditation, inventory, and working, selfless working with others to take us away from the bondage of self. And they talk about prayer and meditation, and we're going to look at the prayer and meditation suggestions today. There was a, in the inventory at night, it's only one paragraph. So you could actually read it every night. You know, it wouldn't be too hard. For now, alcoholics, it might be tough, but it's not too hard. And so I'm going to constructively review my day every night. And the longer you're in recovery, I believe, for at least for me, the less disturbed I get. I still get a little disturbed during ball games. I have to call Mark, but, you know, don't get very too disturbed anymore, because I know what to ask God to do to get me back to him. And, but I have to watch for resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, or fear. And do I owe an apology? I might. Did I say something or do something? Have I kept something to myself which I need to discuss with someone else? And notice the words at once. You don't want to stay disturbed. You could even talk to your spouse. You could talk to anyone. It doesn't say you have to talk to someone in AA, but do you need to discuss it? Is it something on your mind? So somebody can help you see it differently. Not tell you you're right. I don't want to know that my resentments are right. I want to have them help me see it differently. Was I kind and loving towards all? That's a good question. That's my goal. What could I have done better? Was I thinking of myself most of the time? That's a good question. Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? And when you're doing this longer, you realize you're thinking more of others than you are of yourself. You're never going to stop thinking of yourself. And I don't know if you're going to be kind and loving towards all perfectly every day. But, you know, I talk about the food store a lot and this and that. You know, that's a great place to practice the steps. And I went in yesterday, and I think the woman had 3 grocery carts. I'm telling you. And I was pretty good. I just sat and waited till they opened up another thing. All right. Love and tolerance, patience, right? We must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, fear, because that will diminish my usefulness to others. So if there's something during the day, we don't want to get back into morbid reflection of it. We want to be clear of the barriers that are blocking me from God that happened during the day. And then here's the prayer. I ask God's forgiveness every night and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And I do. I ask God's forgiveness and I ask him what correctors may be taken to do what? I wrote to stay on the path, to be undisturbed, to be able to do his will. Give me the power to do his will, the knowledge of his will for me. And now we're on the prayer meditation. I've been listening to this really good minister, and he's going through the Beatitudes now. And I thought of something that we don't talk about in AA, but blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I was thinking about how he talked about that, and that's what I really have to have for everyone is mercy. And then he talked about the Good Samaritan and who was the good neighbor, the one who had mercy. And that's what I need when I get angry or resentful or about something. I have to have mercy. And we talk about the other person is possibly spiritually ill like us, and they are who they are, but have mercy. And then I want mercy from God. So I have to have mercy. When I practice mercy, then I'm being loving and kind. And I hadn't thought of it that way. We don't talk about that word. The other word we don't talk about a lot is humility. I talked about that on Wednesday. I have to have humility to do the prayer meditation each day. I have to have the humility to inventory at night because I need God. I am broken and by myself. I have no power to run my life. I have no power not to drink. I need God. I don't need more Michael. I need more of God. And so humility, and I think the humility really came to me on that day when I got down on my knees and my life was a complete mess and I had to give up. And I don't know that I've done anything really that right in AA, but I've tried to stay a God seeker. I've tried to stay humble. I've tried to do his will the best I can. I've tried to work the steps the best I can. I've tried to do the prayers the best I can. We don't get perfect, but my life's a lot better. And so that humility, and I was thinking I'm going to say this, and a lot of people won't like this, but I was thinking about celebrating birthdays, which is great, but I don't want to celebrate birthdays with a sense of self-pride. I want to celebrate it with a sense of humility of what God has done for me and what I could not do for myself. And if I celebrate it, hey, I'm great because I have 20-some years, I don't think that's the attitude that's good for me. Not talking about anybody else. It has to be a sense of, wow, look what God's done for me. And it says, when I look back, the things that happened when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have ever imagined. And if you ever have any self-pity, anybody ever get a little self-pity or something, you know the usual crap. I just say, look where I was. Look where I was. I'm worrying about selling my house. I shouldn't have a house. or I'm not that worried, but you know what I'm saying. The things that the attitude of gratitude, humility and gratitude, they go hand in hand. And so I was just thinking about that. Now, since I'm talking about being humble on awakening, it tells me what I'm supposed to do when I wake up. Now, if you don't wake up, that's okay. If you're with the Lord, there you go. But if you wake up, you're going to have to deal with the 24 hours a day. And you want to stay in the right room, right? So you want to start out when you're in God's room, and you're going to think about the 24 hours ahead. That sounds pretty good, right? Makes sense. We consider our plans for the day. Notice the words, my plans. What am I, my plans for the day? And it says, before you do that, before you begin that, that's a bad idea. It says, before you begin, this is really important, I ask God, I pray and ask God to direct my thinking. I wake up, I'm thinking of myself and my plans for the day, say, wait a second, don't do that. Start with God. And that is an important reminder of, I need God, I have no power without God, and I need to do this. Now, if you don't feel that need to do this, then maybe you're getting back in the South. And it's not hard to remember to say a one-line prayer. I ask God, God, direct my thinking, especially asking that it be divorced. People and I have heard of divorce before. That's a joke. That it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I want my thinking to be centered on God's motives. I want to be honest about my motives in doing things. I want to practice God's character and self-pity, feeling sorry for myself, poor me, which is the result of me not getting what I want, people not doing what I want, the world's not treating me right. And so I don't want to do that anymore. And I can't do it on myself. I can't do these things. I tried to be better. I tried to be moral and philosophically comforted. It says in the book, I couldn't do it. So I have to ask God to do it. And by just saying that simple prayer, I'm admitting to myself that I need God's help. That I need God's help. And I do that every day. I pray immediately before I get out of bed. But I don't do that one first. I just thank him for helping me be alive, and I ask him to have mercy on me and to help me do his will and practice his character, and then I say this prayer. I keep it simple. Under these conditions where God's directing my thinking, then I can use my mental faculties. So you cannot use your brain till you've prayed and you've asked God to direct your thinking. And when God's directing thinking, then I can use my mind. Now, I would use my mind and then I would ask God to direct my thinking because it wasn't working out. And now we don't do this perfectly, but what they're getting at is that I need to be connected to God to use my thinking to do his will. And I don't want to practice self-centered thinking because then my actions are self-centered. And 11 is the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And I can't know knowledge of his will for me if I'm directing my thinking. And I don't have power to carry out his will unless he's directing my life. So it says I can employ my mental faculties with assurance. Now, I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I'm going to do this, and I've made this decision, and this is God's will for me. And I listen to it, and it's a completely insane thing. Knowing them and knowing what they've told me, it sounds insane. But I can't argue with them because they're telling me it's God's will for them. I said, well, pray about it some more, and then if you do that, let me know how it works out. If I can help you, let me know. So, employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. So I get my mind and my brain back on page 86. Now, I got my will back on page 85, remember? It says, every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. How can I best serve you, God? Thy will, not mine, be done. And then these thoughts must go with me constantly. So during the day, I have to have these constant thoughts of what God's will for me is and how I can carry that out. And then it says, I can exercise my willpower along this line, all I wish. It's the proper use of the will. So my will, I can use my will when it's connected to God's will. And I can use my mind and thinking when it's connected to God. Now the problem I had, you may not have had this, But my whole life, I thought my motives were good. I was trying to manage the world so I would feel okay. And I was exhausted. And I thought people didn't understand me. It wasn't fair. You know, blah, blah, blah. My motives were always good. But they were always self-centered, self-seeking. And I didn't know any better. And my real problem was I had the wrong manager, me. Now, I don't want to manage my life anymore. Everybody's decided that in step three, right? But to do that, I have to carry a vision of His will into my activities, follow His will, use my will in conjunction with Him, and I have to pray and get my thinking aligned with His direction. And then I can use my mind. So I don't want to use my mind or my will when it's not connected to God. Now, that's hard to do, right? And step 10 during the day is how we get back from drifting into our will and our thinking and back into God's will and God's thinking and direction. And then when we retire at night, we do the same thing. We're trying to connect back to God. We ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And then you go to sleep and you wake up the next day. And then when awakening, you consider your plans today, but you stop and you ask God immediately to direct your thinking, divorcing it from self-pity, dishonesty, self-seeking motives. There's nothing wrong with saying that prayer all day long. Whatever it takes to get you back into God. Now they talk about watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear during the day. When these crop up, ask God at once to remove it. Discuss it with someone immediately. So you don't want to get too far away from God all day long. And it says our thought life, this is a great line, my thought life, the only life that really matters for me is my thinking life. Because my thinking life is what got me here. And my thought life will be placed on a much higher plane serving God when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So my thought life, which is the life that really matters, will be placed on a much higher plane when it's serving God and my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And my motives have to be what? Serve God and His children. And what does it say on page 77 is my real purpose in AA? It's right here in the book. It says on page 77, at the moment I'm trying to put my life in order. That's a very good idea, isn't it? Because my life was out of order. But this is not an end in itself. And I put my life in order with God in steps 1 through 3. My thinking, steps 4 through 7, the world 8 and 9. But this is not an end in itself. Here's my real purpose, is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. Now, how do I fit myself? Prayer, meditation, inventory. You see, you can't fit yourself by thinking about it. You have to do these actions. Prayer is an action. Meditation's in action. Inventory's in action. So then it starts about during the day. In thinking about our day, I may face indecision. Now, before I came here, I never had indecision. I always knew what I needed to do. And sometimes I reacted very quickly to things. And that was a mistake. Anybody else do that? Sometimes I would have fear and I would react very quickly. And whenever I acted out of fear, it was always bad. And we're talking about self-centered fear. Doesn't mean I move out of the way of the rattlesnake, of course. But we're talking, so indecision. And some people have things that are on their mind. They have things coming up. Things that are, quote, bothering them. So they have indecision. So I said, you may not be able to determine which course to take. So what do? It says here we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. So when I face indecision, I'm to pray. This is a suggestion for prayer. There's one suggestion when we wake up, divorcing our thinking from selfish, self-desired, self-seeking motives, and for him to direct my thinking. The second is whenever I have any kind of indecision or what I see as a problem, and I need to decide the course of action, ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or a decision. And then it says this, I relax and take it easy. Now I've done this and it's helped me. I have something going on in my life, usually a lot of times in the practice, there were very tough decisions. And I would tell the patients, I'm not sure, we have some different options here. I don't want to do it on the spur of the moment. Because I would have them come up right after their scans, we would see it, you know, there would be something, we'd have to make a plan of action. I'd say, I want to think about it. I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to think about it, I'll call you tomorrow, we'll talk tomorrow. And then I'd say, God, you know, I've got this situation, I'd ask him for inspiration. And relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. And then sometimes when I got up sometimes to go, you know where, it would just come to me. This is what I need to do. It was God. And it would make sense. And I felt really good about that. We don't struggle. And if it's during the day, something's going on, ask the prayer. Say the prayer. God, I don't know what to do right now. Give me inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. If you're getting angry or bothered, and something's coming up, you just say, God, help me here. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. And I don't know about you, but this really works when I remember to do it. And it really does. And we can talk about that too. Right answers will come. The right answers are the ones from God. I would come up with right answers, I thought, but sometimes they weren't. So what we're doing is saying, okay, I don't know what to do here. God, give me the right answer. Give me that thought. I started this meeting because God gave me a thought. Because I was dealing with Curtis's death, and I was sitting there, and I on my knees saying the third step prayer, and I said, how am I going to handle this situation? I don't want to walk around and be the person whose son died all the time, and blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to make something positive out of this. What could I do? And the thought came, teach the big book so people can go through it, they can do what's in it, and they don't have to die. It just came to me, and I think that was God. I know that was God. And it says, what used to be the hunch and inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Now we talked about the sixth sense, the conscious contact. We begin to have this part of our mind that is now working. It's conscious, it's in contact with God, and it's working. And we know to go to it. Now here's a good one, being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're gonna be inspired at all times, and that's true, especially early on. We make a lot of bad decisions, don't we? We might pay for this presumption, all sorts of absurd action and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passed, and here's what happens, it becomes more and more on the plane of inspiration. They're talking about a relationship with God here in these paragraphs. Keep staying in that room, allowing God to work in your life so you don't drift into the other room. And it becomes more and more on the plane of inspiration. We become to rely on it. Now I'm going to just cover a couple more sentences, which I will review on Wednesday. I'm warning you now. Mark laughed. We usually conclude the period of meditation and prayer. So that's it. You meditate on the day. You meditate on your plans for the day with God directing your thinking. And then it says that we meditate with a prayer, and I ask God that he shows me all through the day what my next step is to be. I want God to show me through the day what my next step is to be. Now, I've heard it, and I believed it, and I probably said it. I just want to do the next right thing, because it sounds good, it makes sense. But no, that didn't work for me, because I did the next right thing that I thought was right all the time, and I really screwed up a lot. I made a lot of bad decisions. Anybody else do that? It says, I made decisions based on self that put me in a position to be harmed. And you can do that in when you're sober and have years of sobriety and still make. So I want to be shown all through the day what my next step is to be. That's a great prayer. That's the next right thing. God, show me the next right thing. And I believe He will. He's shown me. Now, what used to happen to me doesn't have as much anymore because I'm retired. But when I was at work, I was like a ping pong ball. It was just total problems all day long. And then what I used to do was I would stop when things got bad, and I would just hold the corner between the exam rooms and the nurses, and I would just stand there and hold it for a few seconds. Just say, God, calm me down. What do I do next? And God would say, go in room 5. Don't worry about this thing that's going to happen or this thing. Just go in room 5. Just do what's ahead of me to do. And that would really help. It got to the point where, you know, after a while, I'd be standing there just holding on, and the nurses would go, what's bothering you, doctor? I said, no, I'm okay. I just happened to touch the wall. And then I noticed that they'd be touching the wall some days. They go out there, and they go, and it's okay. It's okay. I mean, because they all had the spiritual checklist cards, too. We all had them, the nurses and me. And when we used to have the charts before we had the computer, things would be going really bad, and they could say, doctor, I think you've covered up your card. You know, they were cute with the chart. I'd say, you're right, I've covered up the card. And then, you know, I'd sort of put my head down and get connected to God, because, you know, we're human beings, especially when you've got a lot going on. In the kind of, now, you know, I have nothing going on, so it's a whole different world. Show through the day what our next step is to be, and then I be given, here's the other prayer, give me whatever I need to take care of such problems. So this is knowledge of my will, your will for me, and the power to carry it out all day long. The next right thing is the next thing that God wants me to do, and give me the power to do it. We ask especially, here's the other prayer, give me freedom from self-will. Now, a lot of people say the third step prayer, relieve me from the bondage of self, and that's really good. And we're careful not to make requests for ourselves only. I don't pray for anything for me except to do His will. And we may ask for ourselves, however, if others be helped. And we are careful not to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Now I'm going to review with that paragraph when we pick up on Wednesday, and we're going to look at really the ending instructions of the steps at the bottom of page 87, 88. So we'll pick that up on Wednesday. Thank you.